the fear hearing you talking about the things.
Welcome back to Voice You Podcast. We're so sorry that we left you without a dope beat to step to.
We've been gone for a minute. Now we're back with the jump off.
Yeah, we're back. Jess, maybe you want to talk about what we've been erp to.
OMG. We have been creating, manifesting, affirming, releasing, weaving. La magie.
Oh,
you know,
shit, daddy. Oh, spirit daddy's in the room. Light your sage. That's you hopefully didn't get from Urban Outfitters. Don't do that shit.
Don't do that shit.
Buy
local.
Or don't buy it all, because now people are over.
That's true.
Foraging, and same with Palo Santo. So, you know,
true.
Trust that the spirits hear you and you don't have to appropriate other cultures. And I'm not saying I'm not guilty of that shit. I burn Palo Santo, but, you know, I am happy to not purchase anymore if it means that, you know,
we could save the Amazon.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah. And I think that, you know, Mother Earth Gaia. If you are, you know, I think there's a lot of things to burn, too. You know, if you're looking for alternatives, I find rosemary to be a really nice cleansing
I love rosemary.
Herb to burn. I often burn it when I want to cleanse. And so, no, it doesn't have the same properties as sage. And I'm not saying that it's like an equal exchange. But, you know, rosemary's a little, you can grow it in your garden. Mm. You know, you can get it at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. It grows like wild a lot.
It grows
wild. Like I see it down the street sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's a great alternative to sage. So you don't have to buy sage. But if you do buy sage, you can, you know, if you live in places like Los Angeles, there's curanderos. You can support them financially rather than like buying that shit off of like Amazon or Urban Outfitters. So there's no judgment here.
None.
I understand the world we live in. but I'm just saying that there are alternatives and there are ways to be more mindful of how you practice. And the fact is that your guides, your spirits, they're not, you know, you don't have Palo Santo today, I guess. I can't bless you.
I'll come back tomorrow when you get it.
I can't protect. I guess source is not like, well, you know, I was going to protect your home. But now that you didn't, you know, now that you didn't order Palo Santo from fucking Urban Outfitters.
I'm going to have to go to the next person
in line. I'm going to have to just let these evil spirits run rampant.
Sorry.
All right. Salt is another great way. Salt is another great way to cleanse your space. You can use salt on your doorway, your windowsills. You can create protection spells always, you know, encircling in salt and herbs. Being out in nature, too, is a great way to cleanse yourself. So if you're feeling like you need to cleanse and you're wanting to just burn that sage and that Palo Santo, you can literally just sit on the grass in like on the surface of Mother Earth and ask her to take whatever the weight is.
Yes.
There's earthing where you can even be buried in the earth for a minute.
Totally.
And just let that happen. In the tradition of the fancy Dutch or the Pennsylvania Dutch and the witches of Germany, which is my one of my, and I guess you could say, ancestral lines, they would do basically, if you find, and this is a practice I do as well, there's two options. You can offer whatever you want to cleanse into some water, and then you can pour that water onto a plant that's dead or a tree that's dead. It's no longer growing. So in a sense, you're moving that energy to something that's decaying and going to be absorbed back into the earth, right? Mm. So you're doing that. Another thing is you can, on a stump, again, or a tree that's dying, you can take like a screw or like something, like a metal or wooden peg, and you can pierce it. Ooh. So you can, and that was a common practice for the tradition that in central Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Dutch and the, what they called it powwow healers. Hmm. Even though they used a lot of Christian prayers, it was veiled as Native American because it combined some of the same herbal traditions along with German traditions of magic and spells. But it was basically like, they veiled it with a name to try and separate it from Christianity because regular Christians would have ostracized them from the community.
Absolutely.
So it was really, it was an interesting thing to learn. I actually got my dad the grimoire, a book of spells, Pennsylvania Dutch spells. So if you, for Christmas, and we were looking at it, and because I found out everybody in my Pennsylvania family had been to a healer. Isn't that crazy?
By the way, we didn't tell you this your entire childhood.
But. Yeah, they were all staunchly religious, and it was just accepted, as it has been accepted in many families, that there's healers.
Yeah.
There's curanderos, you know, that they also exist alongside the Christianized patriarchal culture of the people, and often before they would exist in secret, and now some of this culture is being commodified, and so I think it's great that like things are coming to the mainstream, but I also think that we can, like, we just have so much magic available to us in our day-to-day lives.
We do.
You know, Urban Outfitters is not going to get you the same kind of healing that just going out in nature is going to get you. I feel like I spoke a lot. You want to speak on that? I didn't know we were going to go there, but I think that it's valid to go there.
It is valid to go there. It is valid to go there because, you know, I think there's such a history of whenever something, and we could obviously trace this all the way back to entertainment or culture or whatever, you know, fashion, music, whenever a society, a culture creates something, it's very easy for the dominant narrative to kind of latch on to that and try and claim that and take ownership of that. And so when we're talking about that in spiritual practice and healing and connecting to the divine, excuse me, I think there's something especially insidious about that and an intention that we have to be extra on top of to not like play into, I think.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's interesting too, like, it's because in the spiritual community as well, like, you know, for me, my main guide, my main spirit guide is Isis.
Right.
I'm embodied as a white woman in America, you know, but my spirit guide is Isis. Isis has a meaning to certain folks, especially in the United States.
Yes.
And all over the world. I have to be mindful. Like, I'm not going to change my spirit guide. I don't get to change my guides.
Yeah.
She's
your guide.
She is ever present with me and has been since I awakened.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a part of every aspect of my spiritual journey. Like, every time I get a reading, people are like, I can see Isis. I can feel her. I can see her. And I'm like, yeah, she's always around. She's always with me. However, I don't necessarily need to. I have to be aware that if I'm going to like adorn myself in those things, maybe don't do that. Or if you do that, do it in a specific way, in a way that's respectful. You know, I think I can have an Isis placard in my home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that there are ways for me to potentially adorn my body that aren't disrespectful, that still honor what I live, but don't isolate or appropriate other people. And I feel like with Egyptian culture, it gets appropriated everywhere in a certain way because it's such a big
ancient
part of human history.
Yeah.
Like, in general, like, what happened in Egypt changed the face of the whole world.
The whole world.
So, but still, like, I live in this specific context. Exactly. I live in this body. So I just have to, like, you can make any argument you want. And I think it's not even about like right or wrong. It's not like you're a horrible person if you do this, that, and the third. It's just, if you take that extra step to be mindful, you're inviting the spirit of kindness and compassion mm-hmm. into your practice in a deeper way.
Exactly.
You know, you and I were not always embodied in these bodies.
Right.
We know this.
Yes.
But we are embodied in these bodies now.
Right now, for reasons.
For a
purposes.
Reason, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's so important. I mean, especially with when we talk about ancient Egyptian tradition, I mean, the word alchemy, which is magic, you know, what we know as magic comes from alchemy, which comes from Kemet, you know, the original name for Egypt. So like that is the root in so many ways of what we know and, mm-hmm. and our practices and rituals and symbolism. It starts there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something too we're always grappling with, you know, and as we deepen in our spiritual journeys and talking about the complexities of being, you know, wearing these different husks and these different shells and these different, you know, bodies and everyone doing that, it's almost the only way that it makes sense, I feel, is the way that we kind of take turns playing these different parts and playing these different roles. So how do we engage with spirituality in this way, recognizing that, like, okay, if we zoom out, like, it's all happening, but also zooming in and being like, okay, but this is what we're with right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, like, I love that you said that. Like, there's something to be learned from that. There's an extra bit of care that needs to be taken, especially yeah. for those of us who are embodied as white people.
Right.
And like, that's a lesson for us to learn.
Yeah.
Like, that's a beautiful lesson for us to learn. So yeah. And I think I love that you said wearing it, 'cause, I've seen that too. I've seen people that I feel wear spirituality, and I'm sure people see me and think I'm wearing spirituality.
Hmm.
It's been so kept from the mainstream that now that it's sort of hitting the mainstream, it feels like we are like, you know, it's like seeing a friend you haven't seen forever that's like your best friend. You just want to spend all your time with them because you're like, oh, I missed you so much. I knew you were going to come back. Like,
tell
oh
me
my
everything.
God, tell me everything, you yeah. know? And so, like, that's beautiful. And, like, you know, please, like, express yourself. But also take time to, yeah, look at your circumstance. Look at the space you're in. I said that to a dear friend of mine the other day. She was, like, wanting to change her hair to this, in my opinion, very ugly, like, weird short bangs, like, weird haircut. And I, you know, and you know, part of it was like she wants to look like a priestess or like this, that, and the third. And I said, you know, you are so powerful. Like, if this is how you want to do your hair, please do it. But like, you don't need
but
to
you
do
don't
this.
Have to do this. You don't
you
have
can
to
walk
prove
in
this.
In a 3-piece suit. And if you're like, I
with
don't know.
A tight updo.
Yeah. Like it doesn't make you more or less spiritual. It doesn't make you more or less of a priestess, more or less able to do ceremony. You know, with
exactly.
her, I was like, you've been doing this for lifetimes.
Mm.
You don't have to prove anything to anybody.
Mm.
You know, if like, so if this feels good, fine. But if this is you saying, I need you to know that I'm special and I have magical powers. You know, then
maybe don't
do that, because your power doesn't lie in how you wear it. You know, you can embody power, and you know, sacred adornment is should be an extension of your practice with your guides, your spirit guides, and your prayer.
Yes.
Sacred adornment should be, yeah, an extension of prayer.
Yes.
It's a part of any Abrahamic religion. It's a part of any Hindu religion, any religion. Sacred adornment is part of it. And so there aren't rules to this way of being with spirit. There's traditions.
Right.
And I encourage people, Americans, to look into your ancestral traditions.
Mm.
I think a lot of white people think they don't have them, but you do. Because one of the biggest realizations when I learned about the German witchcraft stuff was that at one point, my people lived in their land and they were indigenous to their land. They were indigenous people in their space before they came here.
Right.
And their bloodline, the consciousness of their bloodline still lives on within my consciousness. And so it's not like I'm claiming that I'm German or that I'm Irish. I'm just claiming that whiteness, again, is a, it's a construction.
Yeah.
It's a construct.
Right.
So you can break it down in your spiritual practice by looking at your own lineage. Don't think that, like, because I think some white people feel they need to adapt Native American practices or, you know, curandero practices or whatever, because they have a lack of.
Right.
But they do have it. It's just that those traditions are lost. They were given away for the sake of whiteness and Americanness, you know, and that's not, I'm not even saying that was a bad thing. That's uniform. What people did because they felt they had to survive that way.
Right.
But like you, part of your practice can be reclaiming your bloodline.
Absolutely.
And I think if white people reclaim their bloodline, that would probably be very helpful. That's work we can do on our own.
To know that like there was, the story was going on before all of this mess.
Before all this mess. This mess is relatively new. In the scope of human history. What we're tearing down is relatively new. What we're resurrecting and reclaiming is our truth, and it is it's primordial, you know.
I love that. I think that's it's so funny because I think about these ways where it's like, oh, if just everyone did this, you know, like there's almost those sayings of like, if everyone did this, there'd be no war. Like if everybody danced, you know, that if everybody made art, you know, these sorts of ideas.
Well, I mean, wasn't it in the 80s there was a big group of people who meditated in Washington, D.C. for like the day, and crime went down by like half.
Wow.
For like the month that, like, you, it was like, we have so much power in our energy.
Absolutely.
And we don't take advantage of it. And there's reasons for that. Exactly. Other people have reasons for that on our behalf. So, and we could go into that, but we won't. But Jesse, I would love to know, like, Jesse's been opening up his practice and offering tarot readings and intuitive readings, which I was encouraging him to do
a minute ago.
And he was like, oh, I'm only a musician, which I like feel so much compassion for, because I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm a musician. That's the only thing I do. And then God is just like, Spirit's just like, but here's all this stuff. Here's all these gifts that also make you feel full and that also complement all your other gifts.
Yeah.
So like, I want to know what your journey's been with that so far and how that's feeling for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Kate was one of the first to really encourage me. And I think it's the sort of thing, it was definitely the planting of a seed, because in that moment, I don't believe that I was ready yet to move into that space. But, and so full circle, I gave a reading to the guest of our most recent guest, Ariel Beasley, right before the Virgo full moon. So this would have been in February. And after that reading, that way, which was the Virgo full moon, I moved into this space where I had to claim it, because I was like, this is a gift. This is something I have. This is something I can share, and I'm not going to deny it anymore. It's something that I have to, it's a gift that I need to claim if it's a gift of mine. So very powerful stuff. And it's felt really, really good. It's felt, wow, it's so, I love that you're asking this question, because I feel like I haven't fully like sat down and thought through the whole stream of consciousness of it, but it definitely feels full circle. It feels divine right time. Mm-hmm. I'm stepping into gifts that I've always had naturally. My first client ever, who's a childhood friend of mine, she wrote a really sweet review and she called me an intuitive counselor.
Oh, which, yeah.
I loved, because I've been doing that my whole life, like since I was a child, and I didn't know,
you know,
how to claim it.
Yeah, and so many highly sensitive people. And I have to thank from the bottom of my heart Miriam Hosna. If you're not a member of her New Earth Mystery School, if you're not participating in her work and you identify as an empath, a highly sensitive person, If you're a creative person, then you are a channeler.
Yes.
Whether you're acting, singing, or whatever, she is such a huge advocate, and like her work has shown me so much about myself. Yes. And so it's given me so much respect for my experiences and my gifts. And like she talks about how a lot of empathic children overfunction. They like, you know, because I feel like I've been an intuitive counselor since I was a baby, like for my mom.
Totally.
You know, and like I had no business being an intuitive counselor when I was a baby.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember throughout my childhood having to say to her, like, I can't be your therapist. Like, I know that like it seems like I get it, and I know that what I'm saying is meaningful, and yet, like, I shouldn't be in this position.
Right.
Because I'm taking on things that I don't understand.
Right.
And we're creating a dynamic between us that's not comfortable for me or for you. And me and my mom have worked through a lot of that, and she's amazing, and she didn't do anything, you know, wrong or bad. But, you know, when you're seen as an old soul and someone who, you know, I remember my mom telling me, like, ever since you were a little baby, I felt like I could just tell you anything. I felt like you just understood. And she was right. I did. And yet it caused in me a pattern of always understanding everyone, always extending energy and intuition to everyone at the cost of my own energy and not having boundaries with people.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Miriam calls it overfunctioning. And then you feel exhausted.
Yes.
You know, because you, and for me, what I eventually learned is just to shut down, you know, with my mom specifically, like I can turn off because I just get to a point where I can't take it anymore. And sometimes people, when they're talking to me, they're like, I feel like you're not listening to me. And I'm like, yeah, it's because I will just shut down out of a need to reclaim my energy.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't care. It's that I'm over. She talks about this too. I'm overstimulated.
Yeah.
Because I'm so easily stimulated.
Yeah.
Because when what you're saying to me, I'm taking it in a deeper way.
Right.
And I'm feeling it, you know.
Which is why it feels good to like connect with sensitive people, right? It's because you can feel that we're really there with you.
Yes. And this is why also for anybody that's listening too, I think this, I just feel it's important to say, you need to be so, so careful about who you spend your time with. You know, like a friend of mine who's highly sensitive was like, when she was with a partner who was had deep depression and was suicidal, she started to feel suicidal, right? I was with a partner that had, he was bipolar too, and he had schizophrenia. And when I was with him, I felt like I was going mad.
Hmm.
And it wasn't because he did anything wrong. It was because I took on him.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a mental illness at all. It's not any judgment to him or to anybody for feeling the way they feel. It's not his fault that I did that. That was me. I felt him. I took it on. I got healthy when I got rid of him. Because I had no boundaries. If I had boundaries, if I had known how to keep my energy separate, we probably could have been fine. You know, it still probably would have been a little bit of a difficulty in our relationship, but it wouldn't be me taking on his issue.
Right.
You know.
Right.
When I see other sensitive people talk about that, I'm like, I did that. That's totally fucking crazy.
Same.
It's like, is this my feeling or yours? Is this my psychosis or yours?
I mean, I'm still healing from that because I feel like I got pushed to the, I feel like again, that was a pattern that I was in my whole life.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of my best friends about this who, deeply sensitive, deeply intuitive, very powerful. And she was the first person who brought it up, and she was saying something along the lines of like, I can't remember exactly what, I wish I was calling the context in more clearly, but it was something along the lines of how sensitive people, a lot of the times, the ways that our gifts are weaponized against us begins really early on, and there's this way that you're made to choose other people's feelings over your own, because you are seen to have such a powerful capacity and emotional intelligence early on, that rather than someone recognizing and respecting, like, wow, what incredible capacity and emotional intelligence you have, you're just made to feel responsible for their feelings, and then everyone else, and like,
oh yeah,
crazy.
Or for me, what made me feel crazy growing up, and I just have such visceral memories of this, is knowing how people were, what people were thinking and how they were feeling about me. And then like saying it sometimes and then being like, well, no, that's not true. Or being like, wait, I can't trust this because they didn't say it. It's not rational. You know what I mean? Like, I would just know what was going on with people before they would say it, especially what they were directing towards me. And I just was like, can I trust this? Because it hasn't been said aloud.
Right.
And it hasn't always even fully been acted on, but I know that this is here. I know that this element is here.
It's
and
present.
So then it created this pattern of me talking myself out of the things that I know. And you know, it's interesting. I was dating somebody briefly recently who asked me to kind of read into him, feel into him. And I don't know why, but I was tired. It was the end of the day. And it was against my better judgment because he had a habit of pushing my boundaries. I got rid of him pretty quickly because he's great. We're just not a good match.
Yeah.
Not a good, but he was like, and he doesn't really come from this tradition at all or in this space, even though I think he's very deeply sensitive and spiritual. He's at a different place in his journey. And, you know, I said some things and he said, well, you know, anyone who's known me really well could have told me that. And I said, well, I've only known you for like 2 weeks. And he's like, and the other stuff I don't agree with. I don't think it's right. You know, and you can be in a reading with somebody and then being like, I don't think it's right. That's happened to me where I've said something in a reading to someone and they'd be like, no, that's not, that doesn't resonate. And then like 2 days later, they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
You were right.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, you know, and this is an important thing to remember as we step out of the logic, rationale way of thinking and into the feminine way of just being with our feelings and our thoughts, is I said, you know, that's cool. Like, if you don't think what I said was true, but I saw what I saw. You know, you don't have to take it. And please know that anytime, like, any spiritual person or anything, whether you ask them or not, gives you a piece of advice, if it doesn't resonate, or like an observation, that was what I was doing, if it doesn't resonate, like, don't take it. But also just know that, like, they see what they see. Because what I said to him was like, you know, oh, some people broadcast things that they're not taking ownership of. So, you know, I could see why maybe this doesn't resonate with you, and I'm obviously, you know, better than I do. But I saw what I saw, and so I'm not here to tell you it's right or wrong. It's spirit. That's the experience that I had. That's what I saw. You can't tell me I didn't see it. If it's not what you believe is true about you, great. That's what was supposed to happen. But like, I saw what the fuck I saw. And in my head, like, after the conversation, I'm like, and you're demonstrating what the fuck I saw. But again, it's none of my business. And my, like, from now on, I'm just like, I'm not doing that anymore, especially with people like in that like dynamic. He asked me, though.
He asked you for a reading and then was mad about the reading.
Don't do that. Yeah. It's a power dynamic thing.
Yeah.
It's a power dynamic thing. So I was just like, but it was also, to me, it was like a test. Because especially with men, have had men tell me that what I know isn't true, and then after the fact it's true.
Yeah.
So I just was like, clear. I was just like, okay, but I saw what I saw. It's kind of like telling someone that they don't have a feeling they have,
right?
You know, like, I had that experience. It's okay that it doesn't resonate with you. I'm not gonna die. You didn't pay me money for this. Like, we're not, you know, but I saw what I saw, and I know, and I'm seeing what I'm seeing. So you don't have to identify with that.
But you asked me. You asked me.
And then you ain't like when I tell you the truth. My truth.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but I also honor that. Like, sometimes people say things and it doesn't resonate. you know, for him and me, like, our relationship was more ego attachment than anything genuine. So maybe it didn't come from the right place on my end.
Hmm.
You always need to be clear about your intention. When Absolutely. People come to me and they want things from me is what, and they want like guidance or session. What I learned now is I plug into them and I get a feeling for whether I'm the right person for them or not. And whether I can yeah. clearly see and advocate for them.
Yeah.
And if the answer is yes, then I say, please, let's do it. There's some people that I just know. I'm like, I know I can help you.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, I know that spirit chose me and you to do this moment right now.
Yeah.
Then there's some people where like everything in my body is like, do not do it.
Mm.
They're not, it's not. And I have to be like,
mm.
So that's actually that's why I stopped, like, full stop just offering things, and I have people come to me and contact me so I can take time to feel into them.
Yeah. Which makes so much sense because that is such an intimate connection to yeah. be going into someone's auric field like that.
Yeah.
That's a lot to do.
If it's not the right thing for me, it just means, and it's not even like a personal thing. It's just like, we're not, there's someone better suited for you and for me.
Right.
Because every time I do that kind of work on somebody, I learn just as much as they do.
Mm.
And I heal just as much as they do.
Totally.
Even if that healing is simply me holding space for them.
Absolutely.
So it's like it's an equal exchange in my mind. It's just, yeah, my view of it has evolved.
Totally. And I think that's such a healthy, comprehensive way of looking at it because, right, maybe it did start this whole way, like, oh, you know, I do readings and like, but then you eventually realize like you're not meant to read everybody. And
I'm not meant for everybody in general.
Right.
Is what I've realized.
Right. Yeah.
And that's totally okay with okay. me.
It's okay.
Can we put a blessing on that?
Putting a blessing
like just,
on all
if
of
you
that.
Need to say this out loud with us, you can say it. We'll say, I'm not for everybody.
I'm not for everybody.
And that's okay.
And that is okay.
It's okay.
That's okay.
Like you will find your, and you know, with music too, I think about that. I'm like, you know, there is a specific space for me in the music industry.
Yeah.
There is a path for me.
Yes.
And my journey hasn't looked the way other people's has, but it is just right. And it is delivering right on time for me.
Right on time.
And like, that is something that fills me with gratitude every day. It used to fill me with dread.
Because
I used to feel like, if I can't deliver on my gifts, why am I even here?
Yeah.
If I can't deliver in the way that my ego thinks that I should.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't be recognized in the exact way that I think I should, then what's the point of living? That yeah. was a lot of my 20s.
Yeah.
Oh.
It hurts. It hurts and it's real, but that's part of the journey, trusting spirit more and more, mm-hmm. trusting spirit more and more, and just going with it and trusting that your journey is perfect and your path is perfect for you, mm-hmm. and that comparing to other people's is not.
Mm-hmm. And knowing that spirit is you.
Exactly.
The I am is you. And so in some way you're allowing the most connected aspects of you to steer the ship.
Right.
Instead of your shadow, instead of your ego.
Mm-hmm.
None of those things in and of themselves are bad.
Right.
But do they belong in the steering position? No. They belong like in the back seat, you know, or in the passenger seat, but they don't belong at the wheel.
No.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
The higher self, the spirit aspect of you is what will steer you to the best possible outcome for you. And if you're being steered in a direction you don't like, then you need to ask yourself who's at the fucking wheel right now. It's an aspect of you that is in need of love and care, you know, because the parent can put the child in the back seat.
Right.
The child may be like, I want to drive. You can't.
Not yet.
That's not in your wheelhouse. So you need to sit back and you need to watch and chill and just have fun. Watch what's going on in the windows outside.
Enjoy the ride.
Count the number of blue cars that you see. Play I Spy. Who gives a fuck?
That was one of my actually my favorite pastimes, which still pops up sometimes. But one of my favorite pastimes as a kid was literally just zoning out in the car. And like I remember, well, that's one of the ways I first remember feeling so connected to spirit. Like
you love to zone out in general.
I just like
you do. Are you Gemini Moon or Rising?
Yeah,
because I just
moon.
Feel like you are like all the air signs that I know are just like they can just like go into another universe sometimes, and I can go into another universe. Like I you know, my parents and jokingly always called me a space cadet. Because I would space out. But then I started hanging out with air signs and I'm like, y'all are next level with this shit. Because I have so much earth and fire in my chart that I don't have any air in my chart at all.
Wow. Yeah.
So when I like, I can space out, but when I get back down to earth, I'm in it. I feel like with air signs, even when y'all space out, you're still a little, when you come down, you're like still floating a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit.
Just a wee bit.
I mean, it's funny. Like, I love looking at charts that way and seeing how we all have, we're equipped differently, you know?
It's
we're all
beautiful.
Equipped differently. And,
yeah, so can you speak on? Yeah, your face is like, yes, of course, bitch. I've been waiting my whole life to speak on this shit.
Oh, my God.
Can we speak on, what's going on astrologically in the short term, long term? It's today, as of today, it's April 18th, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, so one of the things that I was feeling crazy, like last week, the transits were just nutso. We had Jupiter going retrograde, which is crazy. That's about reviving old dreams and bringing like these old passions and desires back to life in a way that we maybe forgot that they were there. We forgot how to feed them. We forgot how to keep that fire lit, especially because Jupiter's in Sagittarius, that's the ruling planet of Sagittarius. That is where Sag is home. So, which is crazy too. I mean, just because I'd woken up and gotten this idea for a song in the middle of the night, that I've laid down just kind of like a, you know, a little rough sketch of, but once I learned, and this was a couple of weeks ago, but I learned last week what Jupiter retrograde in Sagittarius is about. And I was like, oh, I'm literally just, I was channeling that message of Jupiter getting ready to go retrograde in Sagittarius, which also, by the way, is both Kate and I's sun sign. So we're especially connected to this.
Yeah. Well, and I heard that for Jupiter in retrograde for Sag, it's like we're harvesting a lot of the things that we planted.
Exactly, because a lot of the times we think of retrogrades as being kind of like a, you know, with Mercury retrograde, it's like a, you know, you kind of slow down. A lot of the times retrogrades are seen as slowing down, maybe going internally, maybe reviewing things. But a Jupiter retrograde is very different, especially in Sagittarius, because Sag is such an action-oriented sign, a sign that's so alive and expressive and in action and doing things, that when it goes retrograde, especially for someone with a really serious Sag placement like Sag Sun, yeah, it's like we're getting to reap what we sow, you know, we're getting to harvest the crops and enjoy the fruits of our labor, because there's been so much labor, you know.
I feel that. And I feel those old dreams coming back. I feel like certain things are accessible again.
Absolutely.
And it's just really exciting to me. And I do feel like I disappeared into a time warp last week.
Oh, yeah. With that Venus conjunct Neptune in Pisces. That was cray cray. That was a lot.
What day did that happen? Do you know?
What day did it happen? Was it Tuesday?
Well, I know what day it happened for me, but I...
It was that day? I think it was at a Tuesday.
Oh, my God, yes.
It was that day. Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, Venus conjunct Neptune in Pisces, which is literally just like being flooded in the ocean. Oh, well, it can go two ways, right? Because Pisces, it's very dreamy, it's fantastical, it's desires, it's fantasy, it's... Yeah, just like literally floating up outside of space-time and just living in a dream world.
Mm-hmm.
But also the shadow side of that, the flip side of that, is living in a nightmare and anxiety and stress and delusion. Sorry, some of you, you know, may everyone experienced it a little bit differently. But with that Venus conjunction in Neptune, that was us just either feeling completely drowned in love and excitement and dreams and passion and just excitement.
That was me.
Yeah, that was definitely you. That was mommy boss. She was drowning in the good ocean. That ocean of good.
Like, next level. I literally was like, is this even real? Am I in a dream?
Yeah.
And so was the person that I was drowning with. We were like, is this even real? Are you real? Like, I've known you for a while. I'm pretty sure you're real.
Wow.
But yeah, it felt like, and I think too, and maybe you can speak to this, because I'm thinking of that connection in particular, is definitely like many lifetimes with this person.
Yeah.
And I've been meeting people like my roommate, Athena. She's been on the show. She is like, I feel like she was a daughter to me in another time. She told me that. And she was picking up on my, she was reading me and she was picking up on my love for my niece. I just mentioned her and she started to cry and she goes, oh my God, you love her so much. And I said, yeah. She was like, she was yours. She was your baby. And I was like, oh my God, I always thought that she was mine. She's my brother's kid, but I've always had this weird relationship with her. I'm not like, I don't see her very often. It's not like I'm like this weird clingy aunt. It's like, she, like, even when she was a baby, there were things that she wouldn't let anybody do except for her mom and me. I was the only other person. Touch her hair, braid her hair, like things like that. And
yeah,
it was just like me and her, I feel like, have a connection that I like can't begin to put words to. And yeah, I just am excited how, like, but, and you know, the artist that I'm helping manage right now, who's, she's such a big star. Her name's Olivia Rodrigo.
Hey,
she, I shout feel, out, girl. She and I, like, it's been lifetimes. I think we were sisters in another life. She feels like family to me. And so does her family.
Yeah.
And we've said, like, you are just like, it's just strange how we even came together. Like, this is something, listeners, I would implore you to look at in your life if you're not, especially with all these transits going on, is like, look at how spirit brings you together with certain people. I'm thinking of the person that I like disappeared into time with. I met them randomly on my 29th birthday. And like, we, like, in, I was with a partner at the time. It was not anything. It was like no particular anything. We followed each other on Instagram and never saw each other again until the following year. Once, when my spiritual gifts came in, that same month, I was at a Trader Joe's I don't normally go to, and someone tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around, and it was him. And we talked. We stood in the Trader Joe's and talked for like an hour and a half.
Wow.
And we've been friends ever since. But it was like, and now looking back on it, it's like, that was just like divine intervention. Cause like how we met is so random. And like with Athena, like my connection with her, like she literally moved into my old room.
Yeah.
She lives next to me. We're sharing energy all the time in our space. And there's a reason for that. The girl that I'm managing, like, I first got to know her because she hired me to be her piano teacher. And as soon as I met her, I was like, that I'm not going to. She told me, and she told me too. She was like, I knew pretty early on that you were going to help me in my career. And I was like, I did too. And I didn't know how, I didn't know what, but I just knew that, like, I need to make sure that you're good. And I know that I can help you grow and keep you safe and see you thrive in your genius. This is more than that. It evolved into a whole different relationship, and now the relationship's completely different. But it was just, and she picked me. She picked me out herself.
Yeah.
In between shooting like Disney shows, she heard my music and was like, hey. And like, it's just, again, just some of us manifest in a very direct, like, some people manifest, like Aries, I feel like manifest, they just go out and do.
Yeah.
And there's this ethos in the United States of doing. But what I've noticed is like a lot of things and people just come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And those are usually the best relationships, jobs, creative opportunities. Mm-hmm. They just come. And like when I met you.
Yeah.
My spiritual gifts had just come in. And a friend from college that he wasn't even really my friend. Rich, we, like, I don't think we ever hung out in college, But we had each other's number. We were always just cool. And I think I texted him like a year and a half or two ago to tell him I had moved to LA because I was just reaching out to people that I knew from college or anybody because I had no friends.
No friends.
And yeah, he just randomly invited me to this party all the way in the valley. And I was like, I didn't like at that time going to parties by myself with people I don't know.
Yeah.
But I did.
Yeah.
And I met you.
You met me.
And like, look at us now. I met Jackie.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
I mean, and you know, and I think I was telling you the story too, because like it was, so it's all the way out in the valley. Yeah. I don't have a car, by the way. And I happened to be working for this, I think I was there for less than a month. Mm-hmm. I had this very temporary job that happened to be 5 minutes down the road from that party. There was just as much of a chance that I'd been like, oh yeah, I mean, that's really far away. I can't make it. But I happened to be down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, I'll go.
Yeah. And like, and yeah, look at us now. But that was just a random, like a totally random, just like stepping out.
Yep.
A totally random, just show, like just let spirit guide you.
Yeah.
Cause when you meet those people, you'll know. When I met Jesse, I knew.
Yes.
When I met Athena, I knew. When I met Kat, I knew. When I met Christina, I knew.
Mm.
When I met Alpha, I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I met Olivia, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And when I met my niece, I was like,
yep.
I know you. This is not the first time I've held you in my arms. Like, you know, like, yeah. And I don't know, like, and I don't need to know the details. Yeah. I don't need to know that it was like 1485 in Spain. You know what I mean? Like, I just know. And it's, but again, like, especially the way it came together. And so I would just implore you to look at your life and look at those connections. Because what I have come to understand is that spirit works in a very subtle way.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem obvious all the time sometimes till you look back. You know, like I was like looking back at these circumstances with Alpha. I was like, how? Like we literally like someone intervened and put us at the like... Neither of us had an intention to do anything other than just be who we are and be in our truth. And then just we just randomly, I don't even know how he recognized me. I had my back turned to him and I was looking at like vegetables. He met me one time and saw my Instagram for a couple months. And he tapped my shoulder and I turned around and I was like, who are you? And then I was like, oh, yeah, I remember you because you're in my Instagram feed. But like, the fuck?
That's crazy.
That shit's crazy. And that's like, don't rule out the small things.
Right.
Don't make meaning of them that's not there.
Right.
And don't like fight to find meaning. It will happen in the fullness of its own time. God, I'm thinking of how I met my best friend Tempest. She was dating a guy that I went to college with, and she was nannying for this couple, for this doctor, and it was his 40th birthday, and his wife wanted to hire a band to play Prince cover songs. And so she's like, oh, well, my boyfriend's a drummer, and he goes to music school, like, he can get some people together. And he got me to sing the Prince songs. And I just randomly met her at the party, and we were both just like,
huh,
hey. Do you want to hang out? And then we went on like our first date like a month later. We called it a date.
Aww.
Like we went to a restaurant and we walked around and we literally held hands.
Aww.
And she has been my rock and my everything for the past 8 years. Wow. We have had so many friends come and go, betray us, do whatever. She has been by my side.
Wow.
And I have been by her fucking side. But it was like something I would never, I would never think to even audition for a Prince gig, you know, for a number of reasons. But it was, you know, this informal thing and it paid and it was like, fuck it. I'm going to play Prince songs with my homies.
Yeah.
At like some doctor's party. Like it's not that deep.
Why not? Yeah.
And then, yeah, there she was. And I was like, what's up with her? She's cool.
She cool.
So yeah, I don't know. Let spirit take you to where you need to go and to the people that you need to meet.
Yes. Yeah, you have trusting into that. trusting into that. That's been one of my keywords, is alignment. We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, just really allowing myself to be in alignment. And it's been tough. I think one of the other things that was happening transit-wise that was tough, so the Jupiter retrograde, which was beautiful, and the Venus conjunct Neptune, which was beautiful, but there were these really harsh squares, especially the Sun squared Pluto and squared Capricorn, and that was just like, feeling, bumping up against these walls and these obstacles and these limits and these structures that maybe you're just not up to date, so having to and it's interesting because the way I work too, I feel like I can process things very intellectually and but the heart and the mind, sometimes I just got to bring them together. So it's like I can know something intellectually, but my heart sometimes just takes a minute to step to it. And so that was something I was kind of feeling last week was, yeah. And something that really helped, I've been listening to a lot of Molly McCord, who...
We
love you, Molly McCord. Amazing. She's an astrologer who also happens to be, Kate, an intuitive channel. So it creates this really amazing experience because she just knows astrology so deeply and so incredibly. But also the way she delivers messages, because sometimes, for people who maybe aren't the most literate in astrology, she creates these pictures. She just allows these messages to come through her to depict the story or to depict the emotion or the feeling or the mood or the action that she's trying to portray. And it's really incredible. And I feel like I feel myself almost doing that sometimes in conversation or just helping me with things. And so what I've been picturing myself is just growing out of cutting these husks open and just stepping out of it, and just feeling myself leave the husk.
Oh my God. When Molly McCord talks, sometimes I'm like, are you talking to me, bitch? Are you reading me right now? The thing, I'm just like, did you are you spying on me?
All up in the business.
Can you just chill for a second? Because you are all up in my business. And I feel a little violated by how clearly you read Me Too, Phil.
My whole life.
And all of my decisions. I was like, fuck Molly McCord.
Fuck, girl. She just goes all the way.
Oh, my God.
So I highly recommend. She does a bi-weekly podcast that
she's a very
you could find
nice,
on YouTube.
She sounds like a very nice lady.
A very nice lady.
Please don't be afraid to access her work because of what I said. I mean it in a good way.
Exactly.
She's spot the fuck on.
Absolutely.
And those images that she uses are just so clear.
So clear.
And I do want to talk a little bit more about this before we end, because I do little weekly energy catalyst energy updates.
Love.
Yeah. Ugh. Thank you.
The most recent one. They've all been amazing, but this most recent one.
That's
really
what I want to unpack. Yeah. I think with the Venus transit.
Yeah.
This brought because I think for many of us that were in this flood of just love and kind of being shown what we can have. What's possible for us to feel and what's possible for us to release and invite,
yes.
That brings on puts the onus on us to do the healing work that maybe we didn't even realize was left undone.
Yeah.
For me, and I think many highly sensitive people, and I said this in the thing and we can go a little deeper into it. I think I normalized the layers and layers and layers of heartbreak.
Yeah.
That I have accumulated in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's mine, some of it's my ancestors, some of it's my mama. I mean, I was doing some breath work. Erin Telford, incredible, incredible breath work from her.
Mm.
And I was just crying hysterically and screaming, and I've had this feeling I just released all of my mothers. I just released this the deepest mother wound, which, for me, I feel like my heart's been breaking since I was in the womb. Yeah. I had a very high risk pregnancy with my mom. My mom was constantly in a state of anxiety and shock and fear and discomfort. And I didn't sleep. I had severe colic and I didn't sleep for the first 2 years of my life.
Wow.
And I had the most insane separation anxiety. I My mom, she couldn't even leave the room. I would scream bloody murder. And I would attach myself to her leg. And I didn't have like a traumatic upbringing. It was just like, I think I carried some shit from before. And I think like people don't, and yeah. again, like you could say that, oh, that doesn't count as real pain, but somewhere within my vessel, it pained me.
Yeah.
When I was a baby.
Yeah.
And like, I have to look at that. You know, you don't have to think that it's a big deal, but clearly it still affects. That was my first heartbreak, was separating from her or being in her body and feeling all of her
all of her pain.
Cause I'm like, I think about an empath or an intuitive channel being in the womb and then experiencing, you know, if you had a parent who was, if you had a high risk, crazy pregnancy, if you had a parent who was being abused when you were in the womb, you know, like all of these things, it's not just, you know, whether your parent was, you know, an addict. It's like there's things that relatively healthy people deal with that can cause trauma to a fetus.
Yeah.
And then like it's just, it's levels upon levels upon levels of just taking ownership of the fact that if you're highly sensitive, your parents broke your heart immediately.
Yeah.
Not because they meant to, but because you probably enmeshed with them in the wrong way.
I mean, and again, as a fetus, so you're in the body, and so you're feeling this mature external heartbreak.
Yeah.
On the most personal level. And yeah. You're like, I barely know what's going on.
Yeah. And I just want, if you're extra sensitive, like people might hear me say that and be like, well, you were a baby, you don't remember. No, I don't. But like, once I heard that went down, I was like, well, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Why I had crazy anxiety from the time I was a kid, why I had like the most severe fucking, I had separation anxiety till I was like 10.
Wow.
So I had great parents. They weren't abusive. It wasn't this, that, and the third, but I was sensitive. I felt what I felt, and I don't have to justify it to anybody, but I have to take responsibility for healing it and addressing that heartbreak.
Yeah.
And that goes to say that, imagine if that breaks your heart when you're a baby, then you actually get sentient and shit actually goes down. I mean, it's just, you know?
Yeah.
It's just layers upon layers. And again, it's nobody, there's no right or wrong here. There's no judgment here. It's just something might have hurt you. They say like, now my friend who's a mom told me that now you're not even supposed to say no to kids because it can traumatize them.
Wow.
I was like, I'm going to be a shitty parent then, because I'm going to be telling them no all the time. Like, you're not supposed to, like, discipline them, apparently, because that can fuck them up.
Oh, God. That's
like the hippie parent thing now.
We talked a little bit about this in Ariel's episode, because it was almost like everyone else, the parents before, were going so hard in the paint with discipline. And
I have some young students, and they'll ask me why, like, they have to do something. And I'll be like, because I said so.
And they've never heard that before.
And they're like, why? And I'm like, because I'm in charge. Show me some respect and do what I tell you to do. And don't make me say it again. And then they look at me like,
wow.
And I'm very nice, but I'm also just like, don't make me turn on the bitch switch.
Don't make me.
I don't care if you're a child. Like, you need to have some respect. But apparently that's not the way you're supposed to do it. I might have traumatized these people's kids by telling them to show me some fucking respect. That gets a little ridiculous to me, though, because you do need to have resilience.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to get a little traumatized by telling your kid no, because they will have resilience, because the world is going to fucking tell them no. So it's good for your parents to break your heart a little bit.
You gotta learn how to live in the world.
I don't know how your parents can't break your heart a little bit. Think about it.
I think it's part of the deal.
Yeah.
I think it's part of the deal.
You know, it's just part of the fucking deal, no matter how great they are. But you have to tend to the wound.
Right.
You have to tend to all the partners you enmeshed with.
Yep.
All the energies you took on that weren't yours.
Yep.
Like, heartbreak is just so deep for me. As I'm sure it is for you.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you don't have to have been in a 10-year relationship with somebody in order for them to break your heart. You can be in a situationship for like 4 weeks with somebody and they can break the fuck out of your heart. So again, we're not here to like grovel about your pain, but we're here to say like, it's yours. Not everybody has to give it validity, but you do. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people get into the pain Olympics. Well, my pain's bigger than your pain.
Right.
Well, who gives a shit? We both have our work cut out for us. You do, and I'll do mine.
Get to work.
Yeah,
get
like to we work. We both got some fucking work to do.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been tending to my heart, big time. I recommend breath work, yoga, like we said, going outside, developing your practice of prayer, really solidifying and really feeling in tune with your guides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you, Jess?
Yeah, same. And I think it's one of those classic things. I mean, I remember a friend of mine from college who's really, really powerful, very in touch, very intuitive. And I remember we were just hugging and he was just like, whoa, like, holy shit. And I was like, what? He's like, your heart is so strong. Mm-hmm. Your heart is so just like your heart chakra. Your heart is so powerful. Which was really beautiful and meant a lot to me. And then I was realizing like, yeah, you know, as time's gone on, maybe part of that has been from it breaking over and over again and it having to grow back a little bit stronger. And, yeah, just learning how to be in a little bit more, not just alignment, but control maybe. Cause like having a big heart, I feel like I almost just kind of led with that and people would pick up on it, kind of maybe smell it on me or something. And it would, become this funny bargaining chip in relationships. It would become something to use against me or I don't know. It's hard to describe, but I just feel like, I was given this very powerful heart and I need to learn how to be in control of it and to use it to the best of my abilities and for the highest good and the highest purpose and not just kind of let it drag me along in life, if that makes sense.
Yes. Absolutely. Your heart is strong. Thank you. Long, strong, and down to get the friction on. Your heart, that is.
My heart. We're talking about my heart, people.
His heart. You sluts.
Get them out of the gutter. Get strumpets. Those minds out of the gutter. You strumpet.
You strumpet.
Oh.
I'm fully scandalized. Can you believe they were thinking that? Gross. Disgusting. Oh my God.
Exactly.
But anyway, how you feeling?
Good.
Are you feeling complete in this transmission?
I think we went there.
I think we went there and you know, we'll be back. We have some really cool guests. We're going to release some episodes we did earlier this year. And we have some more guests coming through. And yeah, yes. our lives have picked up in a different way, a beautiful way. We've been manifesting a lot. But we want to keep making space for the Voice U community and growing the Voice U community and like creating the space for ourselves and for our friendship.
Yes, definitely.
That was an amazing interview. Amazing interview. Amazing interview. Interview. Sorry.